Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. Each week, my guests and I share stories, challenges, and vulnerabilities, all with the aim of helping us to live in a more soulful, authentic, and integrated way. So thank you for tuning in. Let's jump into this week's episode. This week's podcast is all about a topic that fascinates me, and one that is gaining more traction when it comes to general health and well-being. And that's awe. It's a tiny word, just three letters, but a vast concept. If you look up the word awe, A-W-E, in a dictionary, you'll come across definitions such as a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear or wonder, or an emotion that combines veneration, dread, and wonder that is inspired by authority, the sacred, or the sublime. Whilst I'd love the idea of being inspired by the sacred or the sublime, perhaps my favourite definition comes from a professor who has studied awe, Dr. Dasher Keltner, a psychologist at the University of California in Berkeley. In his book, Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life, defines awe as the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends your understanding of the world. I'm sure you've experienced moments of awe in your life. I know I have. But probably like me, it's not something you've thought about in any focused way. It's something that just occurs occasionally when you're in the right place at the right time. For me, awe-inspiring moments tend to be when I'm in nature, mesmerized by a beautiful or majestic scene. One such moment was earlier this year when we were in Kerry. We were staying in a house on an estuary that faced west, so we'd fantastic sunsets most nights, every one of them awe-inspiring. But one evening in particular, just as the sun was setting, we witnessed a murmuration of starlings. It was an incredible moment because they were so close to us, swooping and swerving, silhouetted by the setting sun. What made it awe-inducing for me was that it felt like a real privilege to see it. It was like the birds were celebrating life and we got to join them at the party. Something similar happened a few years ago when I was driving home from Cork. Somewhere in the Midlands, high above the motorway, a huge murmuration of starlings formed, thousands of birds, as big as a cloud. Not only was it an amazing sight, it was amazing how many drivers pulled into the lay-by just to stop and look. We were quite literally stopped in our tracks. It was a break in our journeys, a moment's respite from watching the road, where we could look up and marvel at this majestic scene. I remember too a few years ago, when I was fortunate to visit Cambodia, how awestruck I was visiting an array of incredibly ornate temples that were built centuries ago. I marvelled at the ingenuity of the designers and builders of these vast monuments and complexes. The incredible feats of engineering and construction seemed otherworldly. Of course, it doesn't have to be massive sites, vast landscapes, or wonders of the world. We can experience moments of awe when we notice the small things, like the beauty and perfection of a flower. And I'm quite sure that anyone who has witnessed a baby being born, awe is mixed into their cocktail of emotions as they experience the miracle of childbirth. Maybe it's awe we experience too when we're absorbed in a concert, a piece of music, a play, or are mesmerized by a work of art. It's an all-consuming moment as we marvel at the expertise or even the genius of the performers or artists and the beauty and the scale of the piece. As I said, awe is not something I've thought about purposely in any sort of focused way, but that's what we're delving into this week. How awe benefits us, and most importantly, how we can experience more of it in our lives. Let me start with a question. What does awe feel like for you? Is it an emotion you've experienced? If so, what are the sensations you associate with it? It might be goosebumps, or your jaw drops, or your eyes stare. Do the hairs at the back of your neck stand up? Or do you get a shiver down your spine? You probably have to catch your breath. There's a magnetic quality to awe that pulls us in. A bit like fun, awe is usually not something we can plan, but we can keep ourselves open and curious, ready to experience awe, to receive moments of wonder. It was the Irish philosopher Edmund Burke who in 1757 changed our understanding of awe. In his text, A Philosophical Inquiry into the Origin of Our Ideas of the Sublime and the Beautiful, now there's a title, but in that essay, Burke stated that awe was something felt not just during religious ceremonies, which had been the accepted norm up to that point, but also in everyday experiences, such as music and appreciation of nature. And I'd heartily agree with that. I've often used the hashtag on Instagram, Nature is My Church, and there has certainly been times when I could describe moments of awe that I've experienced as glimpses of the divine. If you do some Google searches, you'll find a growing body of research that suggests that regular doses of awe can lead to a whole range of benefits, from enhanced feelings of happiness to better health, mental and physical, and maybe even some other byproducts such as clearer thinking, humility and compassion. So let's drill into awe a little more and how and why we should create the space to experience more awe in our lives. Well, first and foremost, awe makes us feel good. It's a mood enhancer. And for no other reason than this, it's worth maximizing moments of awe and being open to experiencing as much awe in our lives as possible. This makes awe another way to climb up the emotional scale from heavier emotions to the lighter ones. I'm always on the lookout for new options to boost my mood, and creating the space for awe in my life has been added to the suite of options I've developed for myself and that I share with clients. For me, awe is really an effective mood enhancer because it gets me out of my head, where my mind is either regurgitating the past or predicting, strategizing or planning for the future. If our mind is like a house and our thoughts the tenants, awe evicts the negative thoughts and replaces them with better tenants, thoughts that don't cause me stress or worry, and that in the short term at least, bring an enhanced sense of well-being with them. Like any emotion, we can only experience awe in the present moment. If you think back on moments of awe you've experienced, you would have been fully present in the moment, captivated by what was going on around you. In fact, probably all your senses were heightened as you savoured the moment. Memories of the past or worries about the future are parked, at least temporarily. This makes awe something of a relief valve, a way to distance ourselves from our troubles or worries by being fully present in the moment. The power of now, as Eckhart Tolle would phrase it. For me, awe stimulates a natural sense of mindfulness. As we know, most of us have a critical voice in our heads, the inner gremlin who screeches at us, telling us we're not good enough. It's the mouthpiece of imposter syndrome, our internal saboteur. Well, awe will quieten this negative self-talk. It jolts us out of our habitual negative thinking and can prompt us to perceive ourselves in a different way, perhaps as part of a greater whole. Awe forces us to get over ourselves. When you think about it, like no other time in history, we are living in a period of self-preoccupation. One of the reasons for this is that many of us have the luxury to contemplate concepts such as mental and emotional well-being as we climb Maslow's hierarchy of needs and reach for self-actualization. Another reason is that technology, and in particular social media, fuels what could be labelled our self-absorption, which at an extreme runs from hypersensitivity to a heightened degree of entitlement, that prickly combination of thick-necked and thin-skinned. Awe is an avenue out of this self-preoccupation. It reminds us that the world doesn't revolve around us. When we are less focused on ourselves, we will be more considerate of others. So awe will not just stop us being tough on ourselves, it will boost self-compassion and in turn increase our compassion towards others. On that topic, if awe pushes us away from our focus on self, it prompts us to connect with others. Experiencing moments of awe makes us want to talk about them and share them. We want to extend the experience, maybe relive it, perhaps dissect it, and certainly include others where and when we can. Nowadays, of course, we find ourselves photographing these moments and sharing them online, sometimes to the detriment of being fully present. I suspect most moments of awe these days are recorded on a screen. I know I'm guilty of that, but I think my motivation is to be able to relive it, or at least remind myself of it, and of course to be able to share it with others. Years ago, I did a lot of travelling, and most of it by myself. I remember being on safari in South Africa and seeing elephants and lions in their natural habitat, and that was certainly awe-inspiring. It stimulated animated conversations with the other guests at the Safari Lodge. In the same way, when a few of us stopped on that motorway on the way home from Cork to watch the murmuration of starlings, as we pulled away, there were smiles and salutes, a moment of connection. Of course, when we are chatting to others, we will always feel better because it takes us away from our feelings of separation, which are often the root cause of those heavier or negative emotions. As humans, we like to bond with others over shared experiences. Maybe something similar happens when people celebrate by hugging each other at, say, a football match when their team scores. The emotion is so big we cannot contain it, we have to share it. One of the reasons for this is that awe will release oxytocin, the hormone that promotes trust and bonding. When experiencing awe, we will often use the phrase, "It just took my breath away." Have you noticed that we will often sigh instinctively when we are in awe? As we know, when we are anxious and worried, we are breathing high and fast. Awe forces us to change our breathing patterns. Longer exhales engage the parasympathetic nervous system, which slows us down and calms us down. Perhaps it's because it encourages us to be still and present, because feelings of wonder and awe help clear our heads and open our hearts. In this space, I think we are ripe to be struck by inspiration. So it mightn't just be eureka moments or aha moments, which we sometimes talk about. Maybe we could phrase them aha moments too. I know that the bigger the external landscape, the more connected I am with my inner landscape. And the more connected I am with myself, aligned head, heart and spirit, the better I will feel. And from this place, I'll make better decisions and take what I like to phrase as inspired action. Inspiration, of course, has the same root as the word inspire, to breathe in. So perhaps when we are in awe, we are ripe to tap into our creativity, or maybe more accurately, to open the channel to our creativity. For many years, though COVID sort of broke my habit, I'd take myself off on what Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way, refers to as the artist's date. Regularly, I'd go to a museum or an art gallery because witnessing great art never fails to inspire me. Whilst I don't have the skill or talent to produce a beautiful painting, I do have creativity and talent in other areas. And by surrounding myself by works of art, it encourages me to put my own creativity out into the world. It can also remind us that we can make our own lives a living work of art. For me, awe is a way to connect with the divine. Perhaps it's a portal to the divine. At minimum, it's a reminder of the incredible beauty in the world around us and the unlimited creativity and ingenuity of people. Awe pulls us out of materialism and the small stuff that can clog our minds and close our hearts. It shifts us out of our daily thinking, where we are focused on chores, habits and demands on our time and attention. Awe elevates us from the mundane to the magical. Awe also changes our perspective on the world around us and our place in the world. When I think back to that moment when I stood watching the murmuration of starlings, I marvelled not just at the beauty of the sight, the life that was on display, thousands of birds soaring in waves across the sky, but I was reminded that my place in the world is fairly small. Along with my problems or worries, I'm fairly insignificant. As I said earlier, sometimes we can mistakenly think that the world should operate to our agenda, that we are the centre of things, and awe reminds us that we are not. It therefore makes perfect sense to me that on the coattails of awe will come humility. And this is no bad thing. It stops us being so wrapped up in ourselves. Perhaps this allows us to assess ourselves in a more balanced way, and how we are all a thread in the great tapestry of life. Something else I've noted that comes with awe is a changed relationship with time. Awe slows us down, and for me that is certainly a good thing. We calibrate with a different pace. Or you might say it raises our vibration. If we are watching a sunset, we're not seeking to rush it. We are not looking to change it. We are accepting of what is and acknowledging what we are witnessing. I think if the scene we are witnessing is expansive, our sense of time expands. We are attuned to the rhythm of life. We're back to savouring the present moment. The perception of not having enough time, or time starvation as it's sometimes called, is a plague on the modern Western world, and awe is an antidote to that. I can't remember where I read it. I think it was one of the romantic poets who said it. They said that awe arises in us when our inner subjective world collides with the objective natural world and it overwhelms us. Today we speak of overwhelm as a negative thing, overwhelmed with work, responsibilities or worries. Well, awe is being overwhelmed in the most fantastical way. With all the benefits moments of awe accrue for us, it makes sense that we open ourselves to awe as frequently and as deeply as we can. So that's my challenge for you. At a time when it's easy to be lost in a world of materialism and consumerism, how can we lean into awe, harness the benefits, and boost our general sense of well-being? Well, first and foremost, it's about paying attention, being more present in our lives. That's what all avenues into awe require of us, to pay attention to our surroundings. We do this by bringing greater awareness to our senses, what we are seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and even smelling. The senses are how we make sense of the world. By referencing them more purposefully, we are pulled into the present moment. Paying attention opens the door for awe to enter, or maybe even to rush in. A distinction I've noted is that awe is found on the road less travelled. It's when we break away from our routines and habits and try something new, or try to look at the world around us through a different lens. Route one to awe for me will always be through nature. Being in nature reminds us of our true nature, how nature is not separate from us, we are part of it. We don't just live on planet Earth, we're part of planet Earth. Even though it's winter here in Ireland as I record this, we can still get out in nature and notice, even if it's just the local park. Perhaps leave the phone and earphones at home and pay attention. Take a short walk into your neighbourhood and observe the details you'd normally be too distracted to spot. It might be a plant pushing through a crack in a footpath, a spider's web, light bouncing off a building, or even the texture of a tree trunk. Remember, awe can be found in the little things too. For me, mountains, trees, rivers, lakes, the ocean, really any body of water, are all havens of awe. I've always found rainbows to be awe-inspiring. As I sometimes say, the rainbow itself is the pot of gold. There are certain places I know I will find awe, because I find it every time I'm there. The same might be true for you. You might have a particular location or view that draws you back time and time again. One such place for me is a stretch of the N71 road between Killarney and Sneem, which is part of the Ring of Kerry. Just after the Tork waterfall, the road starts to twist and climb and lakes and mountains come into view. And if it's a bright day in early summer, the sun will illuminate the pink and purple rhododendron that tumbles from the slopes. We'll usually put on a favourite piece of classical music, which somehow heightens the experience. Our conversation will fall silent, almost in reverence. That sense of silence is a quality always associated with awe. Sometimes too, we've been known to tear up in the car because of what we're experiencing. That soulful state, stimulated and enriched by the beauty of the surroundings. If it's not possible to get out into nature, we can watch nature programs on TV. I think one of the reasons for the ongoing popularity of, say, the David Attenborough classics, with their fantastic camera work, is because it stimulates awe in us as we sit on our sofas on a Sunday evening. We might have to be exceptionally lucky to witness a murmuration of starlings, but at the click of a button, we can watch them on YouTube. Of course, it won't be as awe-inspiring as the real thing, but it would certainly be more beneficial to our well-being than some of the other toxic content we can too easily stumble across online. Music is another avenue to the sublime. Whilst music can enhance or be a soundtrack to an awe-inspiring scene, music alone can also be inspiring, or at minimum a mood enhancer. For me, it tends to be classical music. Sometimes it's a big orchestral piece by Tchaikovsky or Wagner or von Suppe, or it might be the soft, quiet brilliance of a Chopin sonata or the angelic music of Bach. I'm not a musical expert by any means, but I know what moves my soul every time I listen to it. No doubt you will have your favourite pieces of music. Why not make the effort to listen to them more frequently or more attentively and really savour them? A little like music, there are other forms of art that stimulate the emotion of awe within us. It might be a painting, a photograph, a sculpture, or performance art such as opera, a play, or even dance. I know art can transport and transforming. I remember going to see a live Cirque du Soleil performance a few years ago. Whilst I marvelled at their athleticism and expertise, there were certainly times that my heart was in my mouth in case a performer would fall. Remember that there is often an element of fear or dread wrapped up in awe too. To appreciate art is to appreciate the essence of humanity, the creativity that stirs the soul. Art reminds us of the best in us, in a world that seems to emphasise the worst of us. Again, we may not be able to witness great pieces of art firsthand all the time, but technology is our friend when used consciously. And if sport is your thing, you can access and relive sporting memories and marvel at the prowess of your sporting heroes with a quick search on YouTube. Perhaps one of the simplest ways to experience heart-warming awe is to notice and acknowledge the goodness and kindness of others. The everyday occurrences that we either take for granted or are too wrapped up in our own worlds to notice. Public discourse tends to be hijacked by those with the loudest and harshest voices, not the everyday decent people who do so much unheralded good. It could be noticing someone help an elderly person out of a car or helping a child retrieve a ball from a tree. I saw both of these gestures this week, and it certainly reminded me of the natural goodness in people and how our default position is to help each other out. As human beings, we are social beings. I think it is a similar sentiment that prompts so many people to tune in to the Late Late Tai Show every year. Some of it may be nostalgia or tradition, but I think it's for the emotional connection and to be reminded of the goodness in people. Whilst these may not be big moments of awe with a capital A, they can certainly make us go, ah. Another way to open ourselves to awe is to get curious. If you think of young children, their curiosity knows no bounds. The simplest things can surprise and delight them. As we grow up, somehow this curiosity is replaced by fear, particularly the fear of doing the wrong thing or the fear of being negatively judged by others. This stifles our curiosity and creativity as we are socialized into conformity. For me, as an adult, curiosity is not only a foundation block of learning, but it is also a way to open ourselves to awe. I love nothing better than to delve deeper into a topic that interests me. In many ways, that's what all my podcast episodes are about, me sharing tips and insights on topics that fascinate me and that I'm passionate about. When we are led by our interests to delve deeper into subjects, hobbies, or to even find out more about people we admire, we are leveraging our curiosity and opening the door to awe. I don't know if you've ever found yourself fascinated by a subject or a statistic or a piece of knowledge you've stumbled across. I know I have. For me, the lives of people I admire is always something I'm curious about, hence my love of biographies. Science and how the world around us works is also a subject that sparks people's interest and certainly can be a source of awe. From the miracle of the human body to the unfolding mysteries of space, our inner and outer worlds, as it were. Even learning more about the complex logistics of how big operations work can be awe-inspiring. I think that's one of the appeals of those TV programs that go behind the scenes, showing how massive factories produce and distribute their goods. In recent times, AI and its capabilities fill me with awe. And as I say, though, awe often includes a sense of dread as well. So what are you fascinated by? Could you delve a little deeper into an interest or a hobby? Remember, curiosity is a signpost towards awe. As many of you know, I'm an advocate of yoga. So in the coming weeks, I plan to delve more into the philosophy of yoga. I'll follow my curiosity. I'll learn something new. It will expand and enrich my yoga practice. And maybe awe will strike. But it will be a process of discovery that I know I'll enjoy. The last tip for bringing more awe into our lives is another simple one. Start some conversations with friends or family about awe. Or if you journal or keep a gratitude journal, can you record moments of awe? Those moments that make you say, wow. It's interesting in that some of the workshops I run, I'll open the session by asking attendees to speak about their sources of inspiration. This has several benefits. It opens people up. It's a mood enhancer. It widens perspective. And it forges camaraderie and connection as the participants realize that we have far more in common than we might think, because it tends to be the same things that inspire us or stimulate awe in us. Maybe you can start by listing out what inspires you or what has stimulated that feeling of awe in you in the past. When we are aware of them, perhaps we can connect with them more purposefully. So before I share a few closing reflections, a quick recap on some of the points I've made. As I've said, there's a growing body of research on the topic of awe and how it benefits us. It's a mood enhancer because it pulls us into the present moment, out of our worrying or strategizing minds. It jolts us to cease the negative self-talk and even our tendency to be self-absorbed. Awe encourages us to connect with others and to share experiences. Of course, awe is closely associated with inspiration, the channel of creativity. And as I mentioned, in reminding us of what's important, awe changes our relationship with time. It slows us down, and as a result, our lives feel more spacious. Then there are the ways that we can open the door to awe. Getting out into nature, noticing simple acts of kindness that remind us of the goodness of people. It might be music, art, or learning something new, but all the doors to awe require us to pay attention and to stay curious. So as we can see, awe is not the privilege of the wealthy. Awe is democratic and available to everyone who is open to it. We start by just taking a breath and looking around us. As Dr. Keltner, who I mentioned at the outset, writes in his book, awe is critical to our well-being in the same way other emotions are, such as joy and love. Let's remember that the screens we carry around with us, the algorithms that grab our attention, they all force us to look down and drag us in. Awe pulls us out of ourselves and forces us to look up. In the harshness of today's world, in the midst of war, atrocities and political polarization, awe can seem like a foreign or a quaint concept. We deflate when we witness man's inhumanity to man. Awe reminds us of our humanness and how we are all connected. Awe also makes us more humble and compassionate, two qualities the world desperately needs. And we bring just a little bit more humility and compassion into the world by bringing it into our own lives, by reaching for moments of awe when we can. And when awe does strike, don't discount it, don't brush it off. Awe is a reminder of the joy of living. So feel these sensations, the goosebumps, the lump in your throat. Don't rush on to the next thing. Emotions are like muscle memory. Let's make sure we can recognize awe, so we can welcome it and make a home for it when it visits. Awe is a deep, rich feeling, one I believe we all crave. In our manicured and well-upholstered lives, we can be numbed to the raw beauty of life. But we want to feel the wonder of the world, not the weight of it. If we find ourselves moved by a spectacular sight, tears might well in our eyes. No, these are not tears of sadness, frustration, or even emotional release. They're tears that cleanse the soul as we marvel at the beauty, the miracle of life. This is the time of the year when some of us still write Christmas cards. We will often write, "Have a wonderful Christmas." The word wonder is synonymous with awe. So if we write it, it's a lovely sentiment to send to someone. A wonder-filled Christmas season. So many thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and let me close by wishing you a wonder-filled week. Until next time. Thank you for listening this week. If you enjoyed this episode and have a moment, please rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. And maybe you'd like to share it with a friend too. For more information about me, James Sweetman, my coaching services, workshops, books, and for more podcast episodes, be sure to visit jamessweetman.com. Thank you.